Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joe Ostrowski.
Goff from the four, going to throw left side, open in the end zone left. Reynolds, the touchdown on screen, and the Rams jump in front 6-0. Brown breaks a tackle inside the 10-yard line, and they never did bring him down. They're moving the pile at the five, no whistle yet. 3-2, down inside the one. Handing off into the end zone, standing up for the touchdown. Malcolm Brown, snap back to Goff, going to throw inside the 10. Everett breaks a tackle, 5 into the end zone for the touchdown. The Rams have taken down the Chicago Bears 24-10. They dominated in all three phases, frankly.
Jeez Louise, that was rough.
That was just kind of one of those nights where it just wasn't our night. So we gotta figure out how each and every one of us are gonna step our game up to be better.
You think?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure.
Joe Ostrowski, nights on 670 The Score.
Coop checking in last night. Woo-hoo. You really that surprised? Are you really? You love the record. You could see it was a flawed team. You couldn't help but get excited about the record and the prospects of being the number one seed in the NFC if the Bears were able to pull off the upset with a victory last night. Yeah. But you had to have your head in the sand if you thought that we were going an entire season and this team wasn't going to get demolished. And let's be real. Rick Camp, EP tonight. Rick, would you say that the other loss this year, that the Bears were also manhandled, or no? Do you think, oh, it was a one-score game in the end, and they were somewhat hanging around?
I mean, it felt closer than this one, but that's a relative term.
Did it? I thought it was pretty similar. I thought it was a pretty similar game, and they got the touchdown and the two-point conversion at the end of the Colts game, and I mean, okay, two-score game and a three-score game. It ended up being a one-score game, but we knew that was fake at the end of that one. I didn't think either game was very close.
No, I agree. But it wasn't either one, but if I'm forced to choose, you know.
Yeah, when they face good teams. Oh, the Bucs, Joe, the Bucs. Without Chris Godwin, before Antonio Brown. Let's see what that ends up being. Oh, yikes. So not only did we all clear the decks, cleared the schedule on Monday night. Like me, I'm all out of sorts. So we all know that moving is the absolute worst, and it takes a long time until you're settled and you feel comfortable. It feels like I'm moving here, and all we're doing is getting the house painted. But the entire house is basically covered in plastic, and there's cloth all over the place for the entire week. And I had to clear space and to watch that. Really? I mean, just so much to go over. And there are small things that are just like the cherry on top of last night. Like, Demetrius Harris was really just annoying more than anything else, that they take their number one draft pick and they use it on a tight end, clearly drafting out of need Ryan Pace, the number one issue with this organization. They don't want to put him on the field. How could you? Not saying he's going to be great. I don't know if he's going to be a player. I'd like to find out. Let's give him a shot to contribute. No, Demetrius Harris. Drop every time. Every time. And Ted Ginn's already retired. Like, those little things were just the cherry on top. But that's not attacking the heart of the issue. And that's the two most powerful people inside the organization below the front office, below ownership. Actually, it's in the front office. I take that back. under ownership. That's the heart of the issue. I mean, we can cry about, this guy did this, and how they're using Cordarrelle Patterson in the run game. He's not a running back. What are you doing? And Ted Ginn, he not even interested in fielding a punt and throwing too much to Demetrius Harris. Is that the heart of the issue? Is that really the big problem here? It's the two guys that have the great relationship. It all goes back to them. Complain about the O-line. Fine. Do that. Where does that go? That goes to one place. It goes to Ryan Pace. So if we complain about the offense, we'll say, well, it's because of the offensive line. Well, it all points to one place, and it's Pace. I mean, Alan Krutz has been saying it for years, and he's 100% correct. We knew in the offseason that this was a poor offensive line. And how did he address it? Let's go get a bust out with the Seahawks. That's how I'm going to address it. Well, we've got these two seventh-round picks. Let's just draft an offensive line with those guys, and that'll keep people off our backs. No, it's not how it works, because it rarely happens. He's decided not to address the position. And then we're going to sit here and be surprised that the offensive line is terrible and give Matt Nagy that excuse? Well, he doesn't have an offensive line. Well, why is that? And you think Matt Nagy has zero say in the personnel decisions? Who are you kidding? We all know that he handpicked Foles. Come on. We talked about it all offseason. Big surprise. The quarterback play is terrible. Well, you've drafted one guy in 6 years, a complete bust out, and let me go get a journeyman and trade a fourth-round pick for him and pay him a good amount of guaranteed money. Think that's going to work out? That player was available to every team in the NFL. Good quarterbacks usually aren't available. Offensive line's bad. 2020, two seventh-round picks. Oh, that's how we'll address it. 2019, we're not going to draft an offensive lineman. 2018, we took a second-round pick in James Daniels, and that's worked out well. In 2017, a fifth-round pick. They don't care about the position. They don't care about fixing it with those five spots up front. It all starts up front, right? Well, general manager doesn't worry about that. He doesn't care about that. Yes. Built a very strong defense. And you know what he's done on defense? He's used high draft picks on defense. Roquan, first round pick. When Eddie Goldman was playing, second round pick. Jalen Johnson, second round pick. And then there have been offensive disappointments, close to busts. Whether we're talking about Kevin White, Trubisky, Shaheen, I'm sorry, man. This is year three. When am I allowed to say that Anthony Miller ain't working? When are we allowed to do that? Year three. David Montgomery. First off, you commit the sin in moving up to draft a running back. That's one. And you don't give him an offensive line. And in this era of football, you're drafting running backs without any burst? It goes two places. Everything we want to complain about this team, it goes two places. It's at the feet of Ryan Pace. It's at the feet of Matt Nagy. So what do you want to do? I mean, we can cry about Ted Ginn and Demetrius Harris and all this other stuff. It all points one place. Those two dudes that have the great relationship. We know Matt Nagy's going to be back. Is Ryan Pace going to be back? One more year under contract. That's the big question. So when they made the move to Trubisky, and I was fine with it because we all knew it was going to happen. Finally bench him for good, even though he was kind of bent last year against the Rams, but we won't talk about that. Oh, no, he wasn't really benched. No, that didn't happen. Okay. Oh, yeah, my other option's Chase Daniel. So part of the narrative around moving on from Trubisky, and I didn't have a problem with it, was he's had 44 starts. We know what he is. Don't disagree with that for a minute. Matt Nagy's been calling plays for 40 games with your Bears. 40 games. Do we know enough about Matt Nagy as a play caller? I think we do. Does he do any self-evaluation? Any? Who's evaluating him? 40 games he's been calling plays with the Bears. How's it look in the middle of year three? Year three. Well, last year, 29th in scoring and 30th in yards per play. Got his quarterback. 27th in scoring, 30th in yards per play once again. Pitiful. Just pitiful. I don't know how you could watch that game last night and not look at the other side. And when the Bears were on defense, what Sean McVay was dialing up, it was impossible for me not to sit there and daydream about, and many of you know how I feel about Mitchell Trubisky, okay? But the good coaches, good, not even the great ones, just to be a good coach, you have to put your players in a position to succeed. Play to their strengths. That's with anything, man. That's with my job. If I'm doing a show with someone, I need to play to their strengths. How am I going to get the best out of that person, which will make for the best show? Does Matt Nagy do that as a head coach? Does he do that as a play caller? Maybe he does as a head coach. Certainly doesn't do that as the man running the offense. You see Goff on the move all night. I mean, we screamed that for two full years with Trubisky. Why isn't he moving the pocket? Where's the innovation? You don't see it. How about in the run game, which, oh, I can't get it going. It's not working. The man can't wait to ditch it every game. Cannot wait. And I knew he was going to. I talked about that yesterday with Lawrence. And because he had to. It fall down 2 to 3 scores. Exactly what happened. But when he gives the ball to Montgomery, what is it? 2 yards and a cloud of dust. Right up the middle. Aaron Donald's on the other side. And it's every team. It doesn't matter. There's nothing there. Nothing. Well, it's not working. So I have to throw 50 times a game. It's not working. I don't think he wants it to work. See, I did it. You got your reps, media. Relax. Denny Green, man. Even the most optimistic Bears fan. We knew they were probably frauds. We knew that. And I'm not here to say they're 4-12, they're 5-11 team. They're clearly not 4-12. They already banked 5 wins. They're not a bottom feeder. But when I hear people say that, ah, man, record looks good, but I feel like we don't know what this team is. You know exactly what this team is. Who are you kidding? Really? You don't know yet? Year three, Matt Nagy, you don't know. You don't know what this is. Like, how many teams does Nick Foles have to play for? You don't know what he is as a quarterback. You know this has a strong defense. And this year in particular, they can't stop the run. How demoralizing was that last night? I thought this team brought their lunch bucket on the defensive side. I guess not. Boom. Punched in the mouth. Do it again. We're up by 2-3 scores. Let's keep running it. Because they can't stop it. Punch them in the mouth again. Boom. 10 yards. Do it again. 12 yards. This isn't even a great running offense. And they gashed them for 161 yards last night. I think they used 3 different running backs. Didn't matter if it was Henderson out there or Malcolm Brown. Did not matter. All offseason we talked about, okay, just be an average offense. And I think that's fair because, okay, we have strong defense. Just be average on offense. Can you get to the 20-point mark? Can you score 21, 23 points? Well, that's worked sometimes, but they gave up 23 to Detroit, 26 to Atlanta, 24 last night. And if that was a tight ball game, the Rams could have scored more. Rick, didn't you get the feeling that if the Rams wanted to, they could have put up 27-30 easy?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they just saw that they could pound against the Bears and said, okay, we'll just keep doing that.
they didn't even really appear to go to that well early on in the game, right? And it was clear that they could have.
Right. It was still, they still did their normal like kind of like feeling out process of, okay, we'll see how the defense reacts to a few different things and then work off of the reactions to those things. And that is when they decided to really get going. And the Bears had no way to counteract it, apparently.
Nothing. Nothing. Open phone lines. My name is Joe Ostrowski. I'll be here all night, so hang out. 312-644-6767. That's how you call. That's how you text. 312-644-6767. I'm on Twitter, at JoeO670. Follow me there. Tweet me there, at JoeO670. Just brutal, man. So you think back to some of these close games. I'll give them the Atlanta game, but that drop at the end of the Lions game, how are you feeling right now if we're talking about that demoralizing loss and they're sitting here with a 4-3 record? You are what your record says you are. I get it, Bill Parcells, and you can throw that line around all you want. But if they're 4-3 after that performance, how are you feeling? There's some wins on the schedule. You know, the next month is going to be tough. They got some tough matchups. Still think they're good enough to go 2-2? They're 2-2 in games that Nick Foles has started so far. That's amazing. It truly is. Because in Foles' four starts, they have 14.3 points per game on offense. And if you take out that garbage touchdown at the end to the Colts with a two-point conversion, which meant absolutely nothing, and the Colts weren't even trying on defense, 12.3 points per game. How are they 2-2 in those four games? That's incredible. 312-644-6767. Sorry, we can't help but rant about this. That was brutal last night. Brutal. The Bears showed the nation, okay, we are what you guys think we are, right? We're not with the elite in the NFC. We're not. We're not a true contender. Contenders don't do that. I mean, punched in the face again and again. That might be worse. Like, we've known for years how inept this offense is. We've known that. It's been part of our lives since we've been watching Bears games. But you figured the defense would show up. And per usual, they did against the pass, not against the run. They knew it was coming, too. That's the worst part. They're milking that clock. They're down a few scores. You know the Rams are going to run it, and they still couldn't stop it. They're missing Eddie Goldman. I've heard people suggest maybe they're not missing Eddie Goldman. They are 100% missing that dude. Big impact. Big impact. Maybe not in the record so far, but in the run game, absolutely. I know some people were surprised when I brought it up with Lawrence yesterday when I jumped on with him just talking about the sports betting perspective of this matchup, that they are dead last in explosive run rate. Dead last in the NFL. Think about some of the awful defenses out there. Dead last. 312-644-6767. Some fun guests coming up at 640. Arthur Arkish will stop by. Aaron Lemming at 720. CBS Sports Barry Report. He's fantastic. He has strong opinions on what's going on. Eric Lambert will be here at 820. This is the Joe O Show on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
Matt, you spoke last night about starting the evaluations on offense with yourself. Where do you feel you are as a play caller? And is that a role that you would consider giving up to Bill Lazor or somebody else on staff?
Yeah, you know, I look at all that and that's the very first thing that I look at is that. And so I talk to our coaches and we talk through that whole process. And I'm really honestly not opposed to there's no opposition from me if we feel like that's what the issue is. And so we look at that right now where we're at. That's not where we think it's at. But at the same point in time, I'll always continue each week to look at it. I mean, I'll say this too. When you're in a little bit of a rut, like we are right now, you have to look at everything. And sometimes even if it's just a little bit of a change somewhere too, you have to be able to do that. No one here, coach and or player, has too big of an ego to think that it's not them, right, as a player or a coach. So we talk through those kind of decisions, and you know, we just keep evaluating and rolling and seeing where we're at.
Go get him, Emma. Go get him. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let me get this straight. This offense has had issues. Not a couple issues, not one aspect, all aspects. They can't score points. And he's going to sit there and tell us, oh, we don't think, it's just a rut. Really, this is a rut. A rut? Remember what was happening with this offense in the second half of their 12-4 season? The defense was scoring points. I was there last night too. Were you guys there? We're watching the game. And I'm thinking, here we go again. I'm sitting here as a Bears observer my entire life. And I'm thinking in 2020, when scoring is way up across the league, that the Bears need to score on defense. Hasn't that been our entire lives as Bears fans? They need to score on defense. That's not why he was brought here. For us to say in year three that the Bears need to score on defense. And Eddie Jackson did score on defense. And it still felt like a 5-score contest. My goodness. Joe Ostrowski with you, 670 The Score. Another thing that Nagy said right there, and thank you for playing that, Rick Camp, was, we consensus, we don't think that's the issue. Oh, so the new offensive coordinator you just brought in, the new quarterbacks coach you just brought in, first thing you do, you say, you evaluate yourself, self-evaluation, about the play calling. Play calling's not the problem. Okay, Matt. How about those guys you just brought in? Didn't have jobs? You think they're going to go to your desk and say, Matt, you're the issue? Does he really expect that? Is that reality? These guys that are, it's all brand new. Remember with COVID, they didn't even have a lot of meetings. They didn't have the offseason time they usually have. That's a ridiculous comment. Well, we. Remember, you're the boss. This is so silly. It reminds me, Rick, of the White Sox managerial search. All this nonsense about Tony La Russa. And I say that because for everyone out there, say, oh, it's Rick Hahn's job. It's Rick Hahn's decision. It's all about Rick Hahn. It's whatever Rick Hahn wants. So if Rick Hahn doesn't want Tony La Russa, he's not going to be here. If Rick Hahn doesn't want Tony La Russa, he's got to go to his boss and say, I don't like your guy. Are these people living in the real world? Apparently not. It's sports. But, I mean, come on. How about some common sense? You think these – Rick, could you imagine starting a new job in a matter of a couple of months? You're going to go to your boss and be like, boss, you're the issue. It's crazy.
It's I don't think that would go very well.
312-644-6 It doesn't – it's not going to happen.
Like, I try and think of how that would happen here. If, like, someone got hired and then, you know, a couple months in, they went to Mitch and said, you know, I see what you're doing with X, Y, and Z, but I'd really run it this way. And Mitch is a reasonable dude, but that wouldn't end well for whoever that is.
No. It's just – so at what point, man – you've been calling plays for 40 games here. How much more do we need? You knew at 40 games with Trubisky. You knew well before 40 games, even though you gave him 44. How many games is it going to take? Let's go to Ottawa, Illinois. TJ, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, good evening, first-time caller. Hey, I want to make some comments. I mean, I agree with you guys totally. That was the most pathetic football game that I've seen in a long time. As far as the way the Bears played. I mean, you know, Nick Foles, I mean, now it's like a legless Mr. Trubisky. He couldn't hit receivers either. I mean, he must have missed four or five passes downfield at about the 18 to 25-yard mark that if he makes a connection, I mean, you got 30, 40-yard pass plays or even longer. He couldn't hit anybody. I mean, our run, what, 2 yards and stop? We can't pass block. We can't run block. The quarterback can't run now, so it's like a legless Trubisky back there because he ain't hit receivers either. It's just it's just bad.
Thanks, TJ. Man, I'm going to that legless Trubisky thing. I get his point. Like, the biggest strength that you would say that to Trubisky's game is his athleticism. But even when Trubisky was out there, was Matt Nagy putting him in positions to succeed? No, run my offense. I understand this is what you do well. I understand that. But I want you to run my offense. You have to know my offense better than I do. Didn't we hear that in the offseason? My offense. It's going to work because it worked for Andy. So it's going to work with me. And this is what I know.
Joe, the Bears offense is at a point where we're still getting, you know, Trubisky, they should play him like Taysom Hill. That'll open up the offense.
I mean, listen, I think we all know that Trubisky ain't it. But it's not. It's bigger than the quarterback. That's something that we've learned in year three. And we knew that we were gonna get there with Nagy. We were going to learn a lot, no matter what side you're on with him. We're learning a lot, man. I know it's 5 wins in 7 games, but we're learning a lot about Matt Nagy's issues. And for him to sit there and tell us that, oh, play calling ain't it. It's not play calling. Well, then what is it? Is it talent? Is it at the general manager? Are you not willing to face facts?
If he's expecting his subordinates to stand up to him, shouldn't That's he be silly. Then doing the same thing to his GM with the personnel?
Yeah, certainly. Well, doesn't the head coach have more job security than the GM right now?
Yes.
Don't you think? I would think so, just because of the length of contract. Oh, that's the first thing we do. I highly doubt it. That's the first thing you do. A lot of coach speak. A lot of lies. Rick, I got to admit that something I love doing after games, especially losses. So it was hard to go right to bed. I'm sure a lot of people felt that after that just demoralizing loss last night. Like, you're still angry, even though you're angry the entire game. It's tough to go right to bed. So on the Bears Twitter feed, they tweet out a link to the Periscope so you could see the live video of the press conferences. So it was Matt Nagy followed up by Nick Foles, and there was the drama about what Brian Griese had to say at the end of the game. And, of course, J.J. Stankovic did a great job pressing both of them on that issue. Good job out of J.J. there. And I've got to admit, guilty pleasure, man, is after a Bears loss, watching the video of those periscopes and the commenters going wild. I love it. It is so ridiculous. It is so silly. And it just cracks me up. It's the only thing that brings a smile to my face after those games. Have you ever done that yourself, Rick Ham?
I think I did that on, was it? I think I was doing tape for like the, was it the Trestman intro presser or something?
And so funny.
Or something along those lines. And it was okay. Like, you know, you have all the hearts because everybody loves the hire and this guy sounds so smart. Now that was the opposite of this, but just okay. The ridiculous level of comments is entertaining.
Okay. So I took some screenshots while I was watching it last night and I tweeted it out. You can see the screenshots at Joe0670. Here's what I saw. So when Matt Nagy's up here, I'm just going to go run down the line of these two screenshots of Nagy before I get to the Foles ones, Rick. Here's the one when Matt Nagy's up there with his stupid visor. Here are the comments. Resign. Give up play calling. Learn how to spread the defense. You're the problem. 6 exclamation marks. You're frustrating. 8 exclamation marks. All caps, worst coach in the NFL. Nagy still believes he is an offensive genius. He isn't. LMAO. No, you got to figure it out. Redesign your playboy. Make a playbook for your players. Not what you want to do. So that's the Nagy stuff. And then Nick Foles is up there. And here are some comments. Call him out. Again, Foles, you're lying. Admit it. Just say Nagy has no clue what's going on. Caught. Cap. Too bad, Nick. You're coached by a hashtag fake coach. Trade Nick to the Packers for a first round pick.
Oh my God.
That was my entertainment last night, because that's the only entertainment that I got.
That last one's a winner.
That was from at Quayshawn underscore GD. I don't know what the GD stands for.
I think we got a pretty good idea.
I think so. I agree with you, Rick Camp. My name is Joe Ostrowski. Thanks for hanging out. At least we could chuckle a little bit about what we witnessed last night. Just a complete waste of an evening. We'll get the perspective of Arthur Arkish. He will join me next here on 670 The Score and the radio.com app.
That's a tough question. I think the biggest thing is, you know, throughout the season, at times we've been able to make plays to help our team, to put us in position to either come back in games or win games. Tonight was not one of those examples. You know, we didn't play well offensively, and it's tough.
Bears starting quarterback Nick Foles after the Bears lost to the Rams. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's check in with our buddy Arthur Arkish on Twitter by his name, at Arthur Arkish, on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Arthur, let's get right to the issue. The most egregious part of last night, what bothered you the most?
Well, Joe, it's good to talk with you. It's nothing like some primetime LA lights to really illuminate the warts of a 5-2 team and get the fan base really riled up. Probably a little bit unnecessarily so, but I guess what aggravated me the most, I think what bugs me the most is that, you know, the offense obviously was horrible. We know that that's the case at this point. But let's not sugarcoat the defensive performance either, because they got an issue now, a little bit of an issue defending the run, and that certainly showed up fairly consistently last night. And then I think the penalties, too, on defense bugs me. So I don't want to take the low-hanging fruit of the offense, because we already know about all that. So I guess what makes it more of a jolting loss is when you see the defense get pushed around just a little bit, too, and that's what you normally feel like you can hang your hat on.
Yeah, it felt like, I understand getting upset about Ted Ginn when it looks like he's already retired, or the targets for Demetrius Harris when you take Cole Kmet with your first draft pick and you want to see what he offers, and the little time he has gotten, it seems like there's something there and they're not giving him that opportunity right now. That's bothersome, but yeah, it's not at the heart of the issues. I mean, the Bears run D once again, and I say once again because this has been there all year. It wasn't just last night with 161 rushing yards. It's the explosive run plays. And when they're trailing, they knew it was coming. And the Rams just continued to punch them in the mouth. And it's not even like this is one of the great run games in the league.
No, but it is a team, and maybe this is kind of also what adds to the overall frustration. And again, probably a little bit unnecessary. The extent of it, given that the team is 5-2, whatever. It could be a soft 5-2, whatever it is, that's the record. But like you said, I don't think that the personnel is overwhelmingly dominant run game-wise for the Rams, and yet you've seen them make a lot of tweaks and make sure that their offensive line, with a few guys whose names you don't know, isn't getting just completely overwhelmed and short-circuiting an entire unit the way the Bears is. So, it's rough right now. There's no doubt about it. I guess the silver lining as we all woke up today and wanted to get kind of the stink of that one out of our heads is that that's the best defense they're going to see all season. They're not going to see another good defense, I don't think, the whole way here, which is pretty wild to think about. But the few that were left that we expected to be big-time challenges, like certainly Sunday and the Saints, and yeah, they've got some good players, but they're not playing good defense. The Vikings, same story. I know you were right out in front with the Vikings' demise ahead of that one, and you certainly hit that on the head. But so look, the Bears might be a pretty average team whose record's a little inflated right now, but they still got time to try and figure out whatever they've been trying to figure out now for the better part of 3 years.
Yeah, I will say that in the first four starts, I will cut Nick Foles a little bit of slack when he was getting about half the snaps during the limited preseason that they did have without any preseason games. So you had that the camp battle going on, and then when he did get the job, okay, cool, nice job against Atlanta. Thank you very much. Now here you're what turns out to be, we didn't think it before the season, but these defenses with the Colts, the Bucks, and even the Rams, these are actually three of the best ones in the NFL.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. So the stretch that was supposed to be, as we were saying, kind of the kind of easing your way into this thing turns out to have been what appears to be the most difficult one thus far. And look, there were very few offensive highlights. Obviously, Foles made a few plays when he needed to in those aforementioned games prior, prior to last night, or at least obviously versus the Bucks. So it's frustrating, but I think that overall the Bears have been one of the most charmed teams in the NFL. So if the fan base wants to be just out over the ledge today, I think it's worth keeping all that in perspective and still feeling pretty fortunate with where you are, given that you haven't played a heck of a lot of good football yet.
Joe Ostrowski with Arthur Arkish, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Arthur, closing minutes of the game, what did you make of what Brian Griese had to say?
It was certainly embarrassing. It kind of brought me back to last year being in LA and just the embarrassment of the actual telecast and the Bears PR kerfuffle with Trubisky's hip and getting pulled and whatnot. Certainly different circumstances, but just the overall embarrassment on a national stage was pretty tough. When I had the benefit of a few hours of sleep and thought about it more today, I think I was a little more riled up than I should have been, only because I'm pretty confident that that's more an indictment of the Bears offensive line than it is as Matt Nagy and Nick Foles' kind of synergy as the play caller and quarterback. So I don't know if that's a big problem too. Obviously this Bears team isn't going anywhere if the offensive line doesn't improve markedly, but it's a bad look that probably could have been avoided. And at the same time, I think was probably magnified a little bit by just the stinker that they put out on the field. And again, that the Bears don't have the best track record in terms of this stuff. I'm curious to get your take. Does that sound pretty close, or you think we got a problem here brewing with the plays being called in and Foles not believing they can work?
Well, it's funny. How about the opposite ends of the spectrum that we saw from Nick Foles last week? And he had this, he pumped up the media and he after the win, and he was talking about how they know about all the issues and everyone was backing him. And then he's got to backtrack and make up some story about what happened in a conversation with Brian Griese. Like, we've been here before. Were you covering the team when this happened before with Brian Griese and he had to come out and lie for Ron Turner?
I was not. No, it was a bit before my time, but that's a great point. Not only that juxtaposition, but like you said, just a matter of 7 days, and everyone was all excited about the fire that Foles showed last week and how it could backtrack so much. So it's rough. They can't seem to get out of L.A. without either the quarterback and or the coach getting thrown under the bus, apparently. But, you know, there's a lot of things aesthetically here that need to be to be figured out and to use the cliche I'm sure everyone else has on this these airwaves so far today. You'd rather do it at 5-2 than 2-5. So could be
certainly
worse.
Well, could you give some background for our listeners? Cause you have an idea. I mean, certainly your entire life has been covering the NFL in some form or fashion, or you've been watching your father do it. Can you give background on these especially with these national primetime games? I'm sure it's changed a little bit with COVID, but these conversations, like with the Monday Night Football crew, they get private meetings with the head coaches and the quarterbacks and maybe another player or two during the week. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. There's, these all occur in production meetings. You normally get the coaches and the star players, the guys you know you're going to be talking about during the production. And I don't know how much it's changed this year, as you said, access-wise, but the one thing I feel fully confident in is that Nick Foles didn't think that that conversation he was having with Brian Griese, however close they got it to accurate, was going to be, mentioned again on the broadcast in that regard. So it'd be interesting to hear what, if any, conversation occurred between those two guys today. I know Griese was already clearing it up a little bit earlier. So it's not much ado about nothing, but it's also, I don't think it should be the biggest story coming out of this one either. It's just, again, going on 2-3 years of a team that doesn't field a competent offense with an offensive-minded head coach.
What do you think the biggest reason for the failures in the run game are?
Well, I think that they're not good enough anywhere, really. The offensive line obviously needs probably 2 to 3 new starters. I think David Montgomery has a chance to be okay, but he doesn't look special, so I think there's enough to go around. And then I think that one of the big consistencies that we're seeing in this Matt Nagy tenure at this point is his inconsistency. Even if he stumbles on, I shouldn't say stumbles on, even if he's able to achieve a bit of success, and there's no doubt that we saw what appeared to be a little bit of a rebranded run game early on this season in weeks 1 and 2, it was successful. As soon as the quarterback switch happens, though, it feels like we got away from that again, and he thought, now I've got my quarterback and I don't need to value the run game anymore. So you just look at the numbers in terms of not only the production, but the attempts and the persistence. It's gone down with Foles behind center without question. So you can spread it around. I think the blockers are losing consistently. I think Montgomery doesn't have the juice to really scare a defense over the top. And I think Matt Nagy is just in love with passing the football, even though he doesn't have a quarterback you're going to win with on a down-to-down, week-to-week basis.
Yeah, and all of that is very valid. You're right about the juice and the top-end speed that you need in today's game out of the backfield. Of course, the offensive line, but Ryan Pace has, for much of his tenure, he's refused to use those high draft picks on offensive linemen for the most part. A couple he has, and they've actually worked out. What do you know? But do you feel part of it also is that it lacks imagination? It just feels like everything is between the tackles.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, the whole silliness yesterday with, you know, the social media exploding and Aaron Donald's run game ability or lack thereof, and then it almost just felt like they're just running the ball, like you just said, right up the middle at the strength of the Rams defense. And doing that is not a recipe for success, one wouldn't think. So I'm with you, man. You know, Nagy got here and it was all going to be innovation and aggression. And I don't think that we've seen that consistently enough. I think it was, you know, the ESPN broadcast was pretty, I appreciated it. I thought that it was pretty candid in terms of Nagy getting badly outcoached by Sean McVay. You saw a more imaginative, a more multiple offense on the other end. And for whatever reason, you brought all these new dudes in, and now I guess still Bill Lazor, John DeFilippo, these guys aren't going to get a shot. Joe, I'm not sure. Is Matt Nagy worried that the offense is going to get worse if he's able to hand over the play calling? I don't get what the risk of trying that out would be. It's still, I know, not to beat a dead horse, but it is how Matt Nagy got the job here. And now it seems like the Bears are at least equipped if they were wanting to make that change.
We know the head coach made the move he's always wanted to make, and he was able to do it without losing a game with Mitchell Trubisky under center. But watching that game, and anybody with two eyeballs or even one eyeball saw that Matt Nagy was clearly outcoached, outclassed by Sean McVay. I couldn't help but wonder, and you know I'm not the biggest Trubisky fan, but I couldn't help but wonder, man, what if you had someone with the caliber of Sean McVay or even close to Sean McVay that was that would move the pocket, play to Trubisky's strengths, would he even be on the bench right now?
Yeah, no, it's an interesting thought. I'll tell you what, Joe, you look around the league, you see all the teams that are kind of rising to the top. There's no surprise that what they all have in common is Hall of Fame pedigree at the quarterback position. There's only a few exceptions. I believe it's the Rams and the 49ers. What do those two teams have in common? These brilliant offensive minds who have an ability to recognize what they're working with and make sure they're always maximizing it. That really struck me last night too. And we just haven't seen it here yet. I don't know at what point it may still appear, but I know Bears fans continue to wait and are anxious. That's for sure.
The NFL is a funny, funny place. You understand this. Whatever you see last, I wouldn't overreact. I know that just from the sports betting perspective. When you see a team that looks terrible in prime time, they're usually primed for a bounce back spot. I know the feeling today in the Chicago and just among all Bears fans is they don't have a chance against the Saints next week. Well, that is a very different team, and that is not the Drew Brees of yesteryear.
It's a great point. The Bears have had a history under Nagy, I believe, of bouncing back from these really rough performances as well. The one thing, of course, is everyone will remember it's not going to be Teddy Bridgewater and Latavius Murray strolling into Soldier Field next Sunday. Alvin Kamara looks as good as ever. Like you said, I know Drew Brees isn't the Drew Brees of old, but they may have more than enough to compensate with the way Kamara's playing and the way it seems like it's starting to come on a little bit for Brees. So we'll all be keeping a close eye on Michael Thomas's status, obviously, and then just seeing what type of bounce back this Bears team might have in it.
Follow Arthur Arkish on Twitter by his name. Arthur, thanks for jumping on tonight. I look forward to talking to you down the road about the Bears.
Of course. Thank you for the invite. Have a good show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Arthur Arkish there right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score. Some good stuff there from Arthur. We'll continue with the Bears talk. We're going to have it all night. It's going to be Bears/NFL, of course, coming off that ugly, ugly Monday night loss against the Rams. Just the second loss of the season, though, for your Bears. We'll check in with Aaron Lemming coming in up at 7:20. He always has some strong opinions, and he was not pleased last night. Just about everybody watching the game that was looking from the Bears side. Now, there's a lot to be upset about. Aaron Lemming's going to join me at 7:20, and Rick Camp said he dug up some stuff that he would like to discuss about Ryan Pace. We're going to do that next. Some of the moves that he has made. Just when you put it all out there, it doesn't look great. We'll talk about that next. This is the Joe O Show on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.